Well, good morning. It's good to see you this morning. If you have a copy of God's Word, would you open with me to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13 will be our text today. I'm glad that you were here, and I hope that you got here on time and that you didn't show up thinking you were coming to Sunday school and walked into a full sanctuary, but I'm glad that you were here nonetheless. And in all seriousness, every time I preach, every time we gather in worship, I fully believe with all of my heart that no one is here by accident, that we are all here by divine appointment, that the Lord has a purpose for you being here and me being here, and a purpose for us to hear this particular text today. I don't normally spend a lot of time kind of telling you about the passage before I read it, but this morning I want to admit to you this passage of Scripture has challenged me this week. It has convicted me this week, and I've been praying that the Lord would use today's passage of Scripture to change the heart of me and to change the heart of our church. And so with that said, if you would follow along with me as we dive into Matthew chapter 13 together. We introduced the parables last week. Before we read today's verses, don't forget we do have a few verses in chapter 12. We have not forgotten about those, so just hang tight. I mentioned to the early service we're going to study them on Easter Sunday, so those few verses we haven't covered in 12, we're going to come back to you on Easter Sunday. But for today, let's pick up where we left off last week. Jesus there in chapter 13 is beginning to teach in parables. I'm going to read the beginning in the first verse, even though we covered it last week. I want to begin there just to frame the context for us. Matthew 13, I'm going to read the first 9 verses. Listen to the word of the Lord. Matthew tells us that same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. And other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." Would you pray with me this morning, and we'll take a look at our passage of Scripture together. Father, my prayer this morning is very simple. May we have ears to hear. May we have hearts to understand. Lord, as the seed of the Word is sown this morning, I pray that our hearts would not be hard or stony or thorn-filled, but instead, Father, that you would take your gospel plow and you would dig deep into our hearts. Father, even right now, prepare us to hear this word. God, prepare us to respond, prepare us to obey to what it is that you've called us to. And Father, today I pray that your word would dig deep, take root, and bear fruit in us. So Father, speak now and may we listen. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. As I was preparing this week, I was reading these verses and read them multiple times, and as I was doing so, an image kind of popped into my mind back a few years ago when we were building our house. We finished building the house and we're getting ready to move in. And you know how it is if you've ever done that or done any kind of construction project around your home. You know, all the wear and tear of the trucks and the trailers and all the vehicles. You know, it kind of messes up the yard a little bit, the landscaping. We didn't have much to begin with, but I thought, you know, I'm going to try to put a little grass out to at least kind of make our house look more inviting. And so I got a little fertilizer spray. You know, the little walk-behind spreader, and I got some grass seed, and I put it in there. And so you know how it is, if you've ever used one of those, spreading fertilizer or, you know, whatever it may be, you walk behind it, and as you do, the little wheel kind of clicks, and the little thing spins underneath, and it slings the seeds everywhere. So I was walking around the yard and had my grass seed in, and the seeds are getting just slung everywhere, right? Some's going where I want it to go, others are going on the driveway, half of them, I think, went in my sock. I mean, it's just the way it works. It just slings it everywhere. Well, as it turns out, you give it a few weeks, and you know, some of the seeds began to sprout and began to grow where I wanted them to, and some didn't take the way I wanted it to. It's just the way that it works, right? Whenever you're trying to plant seed or spread what you want to spread. Well, in today's passage of Scripture, we see a similar image of a man who goes out and he is spreading seed, sowing seed. And what we see as we look at the parable of the sower, some of that seed goes where it's healthy and good and produces fruit, and other seed lands on the sidewalk, if you will, or the path, or whatever it may be, and doesn't bear much fruit. And so today, we're going to take a look at this parable of Jesus. It's a parable that's familiar to many of us. We're going to even see the meaning that Jesus gives us. This is one of the few parables Jesus explains for us. We're going to look at that. And even as we do that, I hope and pray, as I prayed earlier, that our hearts would be receptive to the word of the Lord. I'm going to go ahead and give you today's big idea, and then I'm going to set the stage for it. Today's big idea is this: we need the gospel to take root and to bear fruit. We need the gospel to take root and to bear fruit. Before we get into this parable, we read the first couple of verses. Let me just remind you what's going on. In Matthew 13, Jesus has just gone out of the house after casting a demon out of a man. The crowd is gathered there on the seashore. If you remember, the crowd was so thick, Jesus got into a boat and he pushed out a little bit off the shore, and he's teaching here at what we call the Cove of the Sower. He's there on the seashore. The crowd's gathered around, just like you are right now, gathered around to hear the word of the Lord. And Jesus begins to teach in these parables, these earthly stories with heavenly meanings, right? You remember the analogies we talked about last week? Jesus is going to use all these symbols and analogies to teach a gospel point. And so this morning, let's take a look at his first parable, the parable of the sower. Here's how we're going to break this down. We're going to start by just walking through the parable itself and looking at its components. Then we're going to come back and see how Jesus explains the meaning of that parable. But then we've got to finish up by asking some questions and ask ourselves what the message of this is for us. So we're going to start with a little bit of teaching, and I'm going to get to preaching before we get to the end, okay? So hang with me and we'll walk through the text together. Number one, let's get the makeup of the parable of the sower. Really quickly, let's talk about the parts of this story so that we know what we're talking about. The first component in the story of the sower, the parable of the sower, is the sower, okay? The sower is the first thing we need to understand what we're talking about. What is a sower? Now, many of you, particularly those who've kind of been around agriculture a while, you know that what that term means. And in your mind, you know we're talking about a farmer who scatters seed. But maybe for some of you young people, when I say the sower, you picture something different. You may picture a needle and thread, right? Somebody who actually sews some cloth. Spelled a little differently, that's S-E-W, right? But to sow a seed is S-O-W. It means to plant or to scatter a seed. And a sower is simply somebody who spreads the seed. Now, when we think about how we do that today, if you're in the agricultural world, and many of us are in this part of God's country, we know how planting works, right? You get your seed, and we have these tractors and farm implements and these giant planters, and seeds are planted in nice straight rows with precision, right? Certain spaced apart, certain distance down depth in the soil. Everything's kind of mapped out and perfected to a T. But back in the day, before we had all this modern machinery and computers and GPSs and all that kind of stuff, back in the day, when a sower would sow his seed, he would do it a little bit differently. To help you understand this, I want you to see a picture. It's actually the background of my sermon slides today. Look at this image, if you will. Hey, and in case you didn't know, you're going to get a little culture today. You ready? Okay. Anybody ever heard of Van Gogh? Van Gogh the artist, right? This is Van Gogh. You didn't know you were going to get some art today, but this is his painting. Guess what it's called? The sower, right? It's just a painting that he painted based on this parable that we're studying today. But it's a good depiction, even though it's a little kind of grainy. It's a good depiction of what we're talking about. The farmer, the sower, if you will, was a man who would walk around in his field, and he would scatter the seed as he went. He would carry a bag around his neck or his shoulder, like a leather pouch or a sling, if you will. And in that pouch would be the seed that he's planting. He would take that seed, and as he's walking along in the field, he would spread the seed. And he would just spread the seed and spread the seed. And as he did so, it would kind of go all over the place. But he would sow the seed as he walked around in the field. So the first thing we need to understand is there is a sower. There's a planter. There's a farmer who's sowing in the field. What's he sowing? That's our second point. It's the seed. He's sowing the seed. Now, we don't know particularly what seed he's sowing. Jesus just says a sower went out to sow, and he sowed, and some seeds fell. Could have been wheat, could have been barley. Doesn't really matter. The point is, he has seed that he is scattering about in this field. And as he does so, now we get to the main component of this parable, which is the soils. We have the sower who sows the seed into the soils. And Jesus gives us four different types of soil, four different types of ground here in today's parable that we need to understand. The first type of soil Jesus describes is what I call the packed ground. The packed ground. In verse 4, it says, "And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. All right, so if you go to a field, which you can easily do here in Colquitt County, but if you go to a field, you have kind of the area where the seed is sown and the plants are growing up. But around the edge of that field, what do you have? You have kind of the easement or the access point. It's where the trucks and the tractors and the trailers all go around the field so they don't crush the plants. Or maybe down the middle of the field, there's a little pathway or a road where the tractors and the trucks end up going. Well, back in the day, it was no different. People, as they were traversing across the countryside, you didn't want to walk through the middle of somebody's field. You'd kind of skirt around the edge, or maybe there was a path running through the middle of it. And so people would walk these paths in and around the fields every single day as they went to and from their places of work or business or whatever it may be. And as you can imagine, what happens if you walk over an area or drive over an area multiple times? What happens to that ground? It gets compressed, right? It gets compacted and it becomes hard. It's the same thing that happened to my front yard during construction. All the trucks, right? The yard becomes compressed. So Jesus says, as the sower sows, some of the seed, remember he's kind of arbitrarily scattering it, right? We're broadcasting the seed all over this field. Some of it ends up landing on those pathways, those byways, those little roads that would go along the fields. And as it did so, as you can imagine, the seed would land on top of that hard, compacted ground, and it wouldn't penetrate into the soil. It wasn't able to germinate. It would just kind of sit there on the top. And Jesus said what would happen is the birds would come along, and they would see the seed sitting there on top of that hard, compacted soil and say, free lunch. And so they'd swoop in and they'd eat the seed and they'd fly off, and the seed would produce nothing. It would bear no fruit. The farmer may as well have taken some bird seed and just scattered it on the sidewalk. That's essentially all that happened to the seed that fell along the path, this hard, compacted soil. But then we see the second type of soil that Jesus gives us. It's what I call the patchy ground. Now, that may sound a little strange. I had to think of a P word. You know, they all have to start with the same letter. That's the gospel rule, right? But the patchy ground. Here's why I say that. Jesus calls it the rocky ground, but it doesn't quite mean what we think it means. This is why I use this word patchy. It says, other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil. Immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. So when we think of rocky ground, we kind of picture this field and like a giant boulder in the middle of it, or these big old rocks that are kind of laying around everywhere. That's not exactly what this picture is. It's more of a picture of this hard underlayer of limestone. And it's kind of like here in South Georgia, we have a lot of clay, right? And you guys who farm, you know how it is. Like you get that clay patch and, you know, it looks good. It's ground, right? It's dirt. But man, it can get really hard underneath. There may be a thin layer on top where that grass can start to grow, but it doesn't take root. And that's what Jesus is talking about. There would be this thick, hard layer of stone underneath a very thin layer of soil. And so as the farmer's sowing the seed, some of it would land on that patchy ground, that kind of patch of hard rock underneath. It would take root in that thin layer of soil. And what would happen? It says that it immediately would spring up, right? The shallower the plant, the sooner it sprouts up. And so it would sprout up quickly and it looked green and bright. But Jesus says, as the time would pass and the sun would begin to rise and the seasons began to change and the summer heat would come, there's no root because it couldn't penetrate the rock. And so as that plant gets that sun, it begins to wither and fade and die. That's what happens on the patchy ground, the rocky ground, that hard underlayer. But then we see the third type of soil. It's what I call the prickly ground. The prickly ground. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. This is pretty straightforward, right? The farmer's walking along in the field, sowing the seed wherever it goes. Some lands on the path. Some lands on the patchy, rocky subsoil. And then we have some that gets thrown into the prickle patch, right? The briars, the weeds, the thorns, the thistles. And as he throws the seed there, the seed finds soil to take root in. But as it begins to grow, the weeds and the thorns grow faster and they grow quicker and they crowd out and choke out the good seed. Now, I don't know about you, I know how this works. I went out of my yard yesterday and was pulling up some of these weeds, and man, the weeds, they'll take over, and they always grow. You want your grass to grow, the weeds grow 1,000 times faster than what you want, right? And that's what happens here. Jesus says the seed takes root, but it gets crowded out and choked out by the thorns. And then we have finally the prepared soil, the good soil. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So as the farmer broadcast the seed, some lands on the path, some on the rocky soil, some in the thorns, but some of it lands where it's good, where that soil is prepared. It's been plowed, it's broken up, it's receptive. The seed lands, it goes in, it takes root, the roots go deep, the plant grows up, and the plant bears fruit. Bears a harvest. Jesus said, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. As I was doing much studying this week, I was trying to make sure I understood all these components and the meanings and all. And one of the things I came across was back in Jesus' day when the farmers would sow a field, you would generally get about a 10-fold return on your seed. Right? You would scatter, let's say you scattered, I don't know, just arbitrarily, 1,000 seeds, right? You would hope that you could get 10,000 back in return. Like that was your goal, was to reap a 10-fold harvest. Well, what Jesus is saying here is that in the good soil, in the prepared soil, the farmer would reap an amazing harvest of about 100-fold. I mean, this is a bounty crop, right? The best crop ever. And then some would be 60, some would be 30, even still, all amazing returns on the investment. And so we see all these four types of soil. So notice the components. A sower goes out to sow and scatter the seed, and it lands on the four types of soil, each reaping a different result. So that's the parable. That's what the story that Jesus tells. Now let's look at its meaning. What does this parable mean? I mentioned to you earlier, this is one of the few parables that Jesus gives us the answer sheet with. You remember like when you were in school and you would have to take a test and your teacher would give you those blessed words of it's an open book test, right? And like, oh yes, we can look it up. Jesus gives us the answer right here. We don't have to figure it out. We don't have to guess. He tells us exactly what this parable means, what the components represent. You've probably heard this before, but here's my challenge to you. Don't tune out right now. Ask yourself the question, Lord, which of these am I? So the meaning of the parable of the sower, let's look at the parts. Let's start with the sower. Who is the sower? I would submit to you the sower is Jesus, the scatterer of the seed. Now, Jesus doesn't come out and say, by the way, I'm the sower. But when we've looked at the last 12 chapters, what's Jesus been doing? He's been going about Israel, the land of Galilee particularly, and what's he been doing? Sowing the seed of the gospel, right? He's been proclaiming the truth of the kingdom. He's been reaching, teaching, and preaching. He has been proclaiming the word of God everywhere that he goes. So Jesus has been scattering the seed, and I've just given you the second answer. The seed is the gospel. The seed that he has been sowing is the gospel. He says in verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, the word of the kingdom is the good news. It's the gospel, the word of truth about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Jesus uses all these different terms, but it's the same message. The message of how a sinful, broken people can have a right relationship with God. That's the seed. So here's Jesus. He's been scattering the seed. Everywhere he goes, he's been walking along, he's been talking to people, having conversations, teaching and preaching, proclaiming this good news of the gospel. And as Jesus does so, what have we seen? We've seen different responses, haven't we? And Jesus tells us there are four types of response to the gospel. Just as there were four types of response to the seed, four types of soils, now let's look at the four types of our heart. The soils are representative of the human heart in four different ways, four types of heart that hears the gospel. Number one, I call it the foolish heart. The foolish heart. Jesus says in verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. So Jesus says, the seed that lands on the path is indicative of a heart that's hard. He says the hearer hears the word, but he does not what? Did you catch the word? He doesn't understand it. In other words, he's a fool. Now, you can be a fool for a couple of reasons. You can be a fool out of ignorance, or you can be a fool because you don't want to hear what's being talked about. In either case, Jesus says this foolish, hardened person hears the gospel, they hear the word of the kingdom, and their hearts are so hard and so compacted, the seed doesn't get anywhere. It just sits on the surface, the gospel doesn't penetrate the heart, and then ultimately Jesus says the birds come and snatch it away. He tells us who the birds are. He says it's Satan. Satan and his demons come along and they snatch up the word and it doesn't bear any fruit. Now, let me warn you. When we look at these verses, sometimes we get fixated on Satan, right? And we say, well, those poor old people, Satan just comes and swoops in and snatches up the gospel before it can do anything. I hate old Satan. It's all his fault. Well, I hate Satan too, and a lot of it is his fault. But understand this. The main problem to the foolish heart is not that Satan comes in and snatches the seed. The main problem is the condition of the heart to begin with. You understand that, right? The only reason the birds come and take the seed is because the heart was hard. Just like a ground that has been trampled upon over and over and over and compacted so hard that a seed can't penetrate it, Jesus says our hearts can become that same way. Cold, hard, calloused, insensitive to the truth. People who hear the word, but it doesn't get anywhere. They don't ponder it. They don't contemplate it. They don't ask the Lord to teach them from it. And as a result, they hear the word and they walk out the door and they go about their business and Satan takes that thought from their mind and they never think about the message. They never think about what they read. They never think about what they heard. It just goes in one ear and out the other. And you know what it is? What is it? Let me ask you a question. What is it that makes our hearts hard? The answer is nothing makes our hearts harder than sin. Sin hardens our hearts. We rebel against God. We foolishly go our own way. We reject the hope of the gospel. And as a result, we aren't interested in it whatsoever. Do you know anybody like that? You ever encountered anyone like that? Where you tried to have a spiritual conversation or tried to share Jesus with them or invited them to church and you just get nowhere? I mean, there's just total resistance. Maybe they know a lot of things, but they're just not interested in their heart change. Maybe you know somebody like this, whose heart is like this hard path of soil, this foolish, ignorant, rebellious heart. That's soil type number one. The second heart that Jesus describes is what I call the fickle heart. The fickle heart. To be fickle means you change, you're wishy-washy. You'll see why I chose that word as we read these verses. Verse 20. Jesus says, as for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Sounds good, right? But, it says, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. You remember the patchy soil, right? The rocky soil. Looks good on the top. Soil looks great, right? But it's an inch deep. And the plant can't take root, and the sun comes up and it withers away. So Jesus says that's the type of heart who hears the word, and there's an immediate receptivity to it. There's an immediate, oh, that sounds good. Peace, forgiveness, joy, sign me up. I'm interested in those things. And there's an immediate reception to the message of the gospel. But what Jesus says happens is, over the course of time, that person's not as interested as they thought. And when life begins to get hard and difficult, when trials and temptations come, Jesus said it's like when the sun rises and begins to beat down, when life begins to beat down on this person, they start saying, well, this isn't what I signed up for. I thought this Jesus thing was supposed to make my life great. And now all of a sudden I'm facing persecution. I'm facing hardship and difficulty, and they back away and they say, this isn't what I want. I didn't sign up for this. And Jesus says they what? Fall away. Now, this isn't just a picture of a backslidden Christian. This is a picture of somebody who hears the word and immediately says, I like it, and then decides, you know what? It's not for me, and they walk away from the faith. This word there, to fall away, is the same word. Do you remember when Jesus was having the discussion a couple of chapters ago? Those of you who were with us in Matthew 11, the disciples of John come along, and John's starting to ask these questions. Hey, Jesus, are you really the Son of God? Are you really the one that we've been waiting for? You remember what Jesus tells John? He tells him, Matthew 11:6, blessed is the one who is not offended by me. That's the same word we see right here in this verse. Jesus says they receive the word, they like it, and then trials come and they get offended by the cross of Jesus. They get offended by the Lord, and so they turn their back and they reject him and they walk away. They fall away from the faith. You know anybody like that? Heard the word, maybe made some initial response to it, and then just nothing. Maybe, you know, I've seen it in church. There's one, as I read these verses, my heart breaks because I picture a young man one time. I remember a revival service we had, and this young man came, and he was moved to tears and heard the gospel and came down and rushed forward. And yes, I want Jesus and I want to be baptized. And he brought friends the next couple of days. And it was all good for like a week. And then he began to fall off and never came back to church. I'd reach out, no, he became disinterested. And now he has nothing, no interest whatsoever in the gospel. Church family, that's the type of heart Jesus is talking about. It's not a sincere faith. It's what he calls a superficial faith, on the surface for a moment, but there's no root, and the plant withers and dies. The fickle heart, superficial faith. There's a third type of heart Jesus describes here. I call it the fretful heart, the worrisome heart. Verse 22 says, as for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. So again, this is an example of someone who hears the word. There's an immediate response, right? The plant shoots up. Even amongst the thorns, the plant begins to grow. But what happens is, just as the thorns choke out the plant that you want to grow, Jesus says, for this person, they get so bogged down in the cares and concerns of the world, particularly about material things and riches, they begin to worry about temporal, earthly, worldly things. And he says what happens is these earthly, worldly things begin to crowd out the seed of the gospel. And ultimately what happens is this plant gets choked out, and it doesn't bear any fruit. Even though there was an initial take, there's no fruit that is born by this plant. He says it bears nothing. Now, let me just be clear. This isn't just an unhealthy plant or a plant that doesn't produce anything. We got some farmers in our church. When a farmer seeks to grow a crop, you know what they want? A harvest. They don't want to just have pretty green plants growing in a row. They want a yield. Right? You plant that cabbage, you want to see a cabbage. Here's the thing. You know what happens to a plant that doesn't bear fruit? What did Jesus say? Look at this verse, Matthew 7, verse 19. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. This is not a picture, again, of this Christian who's struggling with sin and genuinely following Jesus. This is a picture of someone who prayed a prayer or walked an aisle and made an initial decision, but they're not interested in the things of Christ, and their heart gets crowded out by the things of the world, so much so that there's no fruit in their life. This is the heart that is crowded out by fretting and worries of the world. But then there's one more type of heart we see. It's what I call the fruitful heart. Verse 22, as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This one's simple. This is the person who hears the word of God, the message of the kingdom, the good news. Their hearts are receptive to it. The gospel takes root. They yield to Christ. Their lives are transformed by the message of Jesus. They're changed, and their life produces fruit. There's evidence of salvation. Jesus says the fruit of repentance, right? There's evidence of change. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, those things. The fruit of obedience, the fruit of sharing their faith. These are the fruits that are exhibited in this person's life. And Jesus says it varies from person to person. Some people, there's 100-fold fruit. I mean, Jesus does some incredible things in these people's lives as they follow him. Others, it's 60. Others, 30. But in every case, for this type of heart, there's fruit. The gospel takes root, and the gospel bears fruit in the real, genuine heart of someone who follows Jesus. So there we have it, the parable and its meaning. Jesus explains it all for us. But here's where we have to take one more step. We can't stop there and say, well, isn't that interesting? We have to stop and we have to ask ourselves some questions. And let me warn you, if we're not careful, we read these verses and we say, I've read this before, I know this, I know what soil I am, and we start looking around and saying, yeah, that person's the thorny soil and that person's the hard heart, and we can't start focused on everybody else except for our own heart. So let me lead you just really quickly into two applications and what I call the message of this parable. What is the meaning for us? What do we need to do in response? Let me give you two applications. Number one, keep plowing the soil of your heart. Keep plowing the soil of your heart. The message of this parable is very clear. Jesus wants the gospel to take root in our hearts and to bear fruit. But as we saw in this parable, there's only one type of soil in which that happens. Jesus doesn't want hard hearts. He doesn't want hearts that are filled with sin, that are hardened to him. He doesn't want the heart that says, you know what, I'm going to follow you one moment and turn away from you the next, or the heart that's concerned about the cares and the things of this world. Jesus wants our hearts to be ready and receptive to what it is that he teaches us. And here's the warning. When you look at the farmer sowing the seed there in that picture, understand this. Don't miss this. All four types of soil existed in the same field. It's not like he went to this field and it was good and this field and it was bad. No, all four types in the same field. Here's what I would submit to you today. In a crowd this size at First Baptist Church Montreal, I would bet there are four types of soil in this room right now. The same message, the same scattering of the seed, and four different types of response. So the question for us is, what type of soil are we? Will we hear the word and respond, or will we hear the word and turn away? You remember the words of James? We studied James, it seems like forever ago. James chapter 1, verse 21, he says this, "Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls." There it is, right there. We can't just hear the word. We have to heed it. We have to follow it. We can't just receive the word and hear it in our ears. We have to believe it. We have to let it sink in and take root and transform us and change us. That's the call of Jesus for us. And what happens is, for those who truly do that, your life is changed and transformed by the power of the gospel. The old is gone and the new comes. You're a brand new creation in Christ. But for those who pay lip service, who know the facts without knowing the Father, you know what happens? There's no genuine change. There's no fruit. There's no repentance. Because Jesus says that's the mark of fruit. Listen to what he says over in Matthew chapter 3 in this conversation with John. John's talking about baptism and about the coming kingdom. Here's what John the Baptist says. He tells these Pharisees, "Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Church family, understand, these pictures of the unhealthy soils are not just Christians who are going to skate by. They're pictures of unbelievers who even may look like a believer on the surface, who may talk like a believer, who've made some sort of profession or made some sort of commitment to a church, but their heart hasn't been changed, Jesus says, because there's no fruit. Fruit is the evidence of salvation, Jesus says. It's the picture of someone who truly knows Jesus Christ. Now, let me make one other clarification. These verses are not intended to intimidate believers. They're not meaning to make us doubt salvation for those of us who truly know Christ. If you truly know Christ and the gospel's taken root in your life and Jesus has transformed you, even if we sin, even if we don't follow Jesus quite the way that we're called to do, these verses don't tell us you can lose your salvation. That's not what these verses are saying. Instead, what they teach us is that if we really know Jesus, what's going to happen is we're going to be on this sanctification progression where we become more and more like Christ, and we're going to see more and more fruit in our life. If you really know Christ, true believers, the gospel takes root and bears fruit. Does that make sense? So if that's the case, you know what I want in my heart? I don't want my heart to be hard. I don't want it to be choked out by the things of this world. I want my heart to be receptive to the word of God, not just the day I got saved, but even now. Father, speak to my heart. Change my heart. Break up that hard ground in my life and make me more like you so that I can bear fruit for your glory. Does anybody else want that this morning? Keep plowing the soil of your heart. Application number two, keep sowing the gospel in the world. Keep sowing the gospel in the world. Although the primary message in this parable is clear that we need to have the right soil, there's also an application about sowing seed. The farmer scatters the seed, and as he does, some yields fruit and some doesn't. Listen to me. Jesus isn't the only one who preached the gospel. He calls us to do the same thing, right? To go into the world, to reach, preach, and teach, to share the good news of Jesus. We're scattering seed when we do that. And you know what happens when you tell others about Jesus and invite people to church and have spiritual conversations with people and encourage people to repent and trust in the Lord? You know what happens? Some people, their hearts are hard. They're not going to hear it. They're not going to respond. They're not interested. Some people may be interested for a moment, and then they may say, not really for me. Some people may come, and they say, yes, I want to do that, and then they get sucked into the things of the world. And then some, as you share Jesus, that gospel is going to sink into their heart, and it's going to produce a brand new life in Christ. But you know what our call to do is, church family? Don't miss this. Don't miss this. Our call is not to worry about the soil of other people's hearts. Our call is simply to sow the seed. It's to share the gospel. You know what? We worry about our own soil. Let me worry about my own heart. And otherwise, let me just tell others about Jesus and pray that God sinks that soil, sinks that seed of the gospel deep into their heart. But if we don't scatter the seed, there will be no fruit around us. You hear me? If we aren't telling others about Jesus, the seed stays in our pocket. There will be no plant. There will be no harvest. We've got to tell others about Jesus. This is why Paul said this. Look at the verse, Romans 10:14. How are they to call on him on whom they haven't believed? How are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? How are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they're sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Do not keep the seed of the gospel in your pocket. Share it with the people that are around you. Keep plowing the soil of your heart. Keep sowing the gospel in the lives of those that are around you. Those, to me, are the two main applications from this parable. But as I close, let me just ask you a couple of questions. And listen to me. I told you I was going to get to preaching. I know what time it is, but you know what? We're an hour early, so your tummy thinks it's later, right? So bear with me for just a few minutes. Here's the danger. You listening? The danger is we've all heard the same message today. Me too. I had to wrestle with this thing all week. And if we're not careful, we quickly say, I'm the good soil. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm going to move forward. What's the soil of your heart look like today? I told you, I guarantee you, there's all four types in this room right now. I don't know who's who. It's not up to me to tell. It's between you and the Lord. But what's the condition of your heart? Maybe you came in today and maybe you're just here because you have to be. Maybe somebody drug you here, or maybe you're just doing this to go through the motions. And to be honest, your heart is hard. You hear the gospel, but it's not really doing anything in your life because you're not submissive to Christ. I don't care how hard your heart is. Jesus can break up that hard ground, and he wants to. I don't care how deep the sin runs in your life. I don't care how firm packed that bedrock of sin is in your life. The gospel plow can break it up. And Jesus wants to do that right now. He wants to change your life with the transforming power of Jesus if you'll simply have ears to hear him this morning. Or maybe you're here, maybe you've gone through the motions, and you've made professions of faith, and on the surface, everything looks good, but you know your heart isn't right with God. You know there's not been genuine change. You've just been going through the motions. The gospel plow wants to break that soil up. He wants to change your life and give you deep roots, hope and life and peace and joy, not on the surface, but down deep. You can have that in Christ. Or maybe you've heard the gospel, but you've gotten so wrapped up in the things of the world. Those thorns and weeds have begun to choke out the things of God. You're not sensitive to him anymore. You're not listening to him anymore. You're just focused on all these external things. Let the gospel plow take those weeds out of your heart. Let him break it up and make it firm, make it fruitful again. Getting rid of the junk that takes the joy out of your life. He can do it. And even if you're here and your heart's prepared, may it not stop at 10-fold or 30. God, produce 100-fold in my life. Make me a vessel to serve you and bring other people to you. Church family, that's the call of this text. So what's the soil of your heart look like? And are you sowing the seeds of the gospel? Let's respond to the word this morning. Would you pray with me? Father God, I thank you for your word. God, may we have ears to hear. Thank you that by your grace, You call us out of darkness and into light. Thank you, Father, that by your grace you break up the stony, hard, sinful hearts. And God, that you sow the seed of the gospel. God, you are able to save. You can wash away, as we sang, every sin. But God, we have to let your plow break our sin up. So, Father, would you dig deep right now into the depth of our hearts? Reveal to us where we stand with you. I pray that every heart that hears this message would ask you this question: Father, show me the condition of my heart. And God, if there's someone here today with a hard heart or a shallow heart or a choked out heart, may today be the day that they let the gospel take root. And God, for those of us who know you, may today be the day that we take our hand out of our pockets and we put it in the pouch and spread the seed to those that are around us. So lead us now, Father, to respond. And may we be obedient in Jesus' name. Amen.